inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
We're talking about relationships. How many of you were here last week? Just lift your hand if you were here last week, and we talked about men and women and a groom. Just wave at me so I can see, because some of you didn't miss. I've got a few thoughts I wanted to touch base on and let you have a look at real quick. How are we doing there? Good. Thanks very much. And then the key thing I want to get off, and in God's timing we'll get through this, but let me help you with this stuff. Here we go. You have to let it go. That's our topic. Say it with me. You have to let it go. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have to let it go. You absolutely do. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about this importance of relationship. We talked about husbands and wives. That was one of the passages from last week. Don't get drunk with wine. Part of you being filled with the Holy Spirit will be a natural inclination to be submitted, but the word is really to yield to or to flow with. And the Bible says two things there. It says that for wives and husbands, it says, first of all, that people in God's house ought to submit to one another. And so the word submit isn't really a helpful one. Flow with one another. Yield to one another. Prefer one another. You all know that that's a nicer way to behave, don't you? If someone says, do you know, do you mind if I could sit there? Do you mind? You're at Waitrose going out the thingo and you've got a big basket and somebody comes with two little things, you know. And when you're in a good place and they say, do you mind? Then it's a really nice thing to say, not at all, go on, go, that's great. And you're yielding. You had the right, of course you can have the right, as some people would insist, but that's far less gracious, far less beautiful. Not like Jesus. So that's what we're to do one another. And then wives, the key for you, for wives to get what they want really from their husbands out of a relationship is to have that approach to their husband, to be yielded, to flow with him, to treat him like the Lord, to put him on a pedestal. Oh, yeah, we talked about it last week. I can't go into it now. We'll get distracted. So there that is. And then husbands, look at that. Love, it's agape. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's your job. You're got to be like Jesus. You're like, this is totally about her. This is totally about her. This is not you trying to get your way. This is you laying down your life to make her as beautiful, wonderful, happy, blessed. Are you with me? So we talked a little about that. There's a podcast on that. I want to move on. We talked about the power of agreement. That's where we finished. That we're the presence of God and the blessing of God. We don't know what we're saying most of the time when we say, God bless you. If a Satanist or a devil worshipper, if you've never had that happen, they'll come along one day and they'll curse you. And a lot of Christians would kind of get freaked out by that. We've got to realize that in our mouth the words bless you is powerful. Bless your children. Bless people. The blessing of God. And when God's blessing, it comes on unity. The art of staying agreed. That's where we were. And I want to touch on this verse and then we move on here. Listen to Paul write to the church. This is for us. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Every one of you are called. Every single person in this room, every single person in Staines, 25, 30, 35,000 people just immediately around. Every single person that you work with, every single person you've ever met, they are precious to God. They may not be precious to you because your heart hasn't yet been fully aligned with God's heart. But as you grow as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, one of the hallmarks, the number one hallmark, the greatest thing you can do is love people. And you start to see wonder in them, even when they do dumb things. even when they do nasty things, even when they do really evil things. God's love, God, Lou talked about it so well this morning. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Every person is called, every person. Some of them in jail this morning. Some are in bed with someone they shouldn't be this morning. Some of them are drunk this morning. They haven't even recovered from last night. People out there. Some of them are really, really angry with God. Some of them are in great pain. Some of them, their life has been so wrecked by broken relationships and pain that they don't know which way is up anymore. And life is not, there's no joy in it. It's just going through the motions. Some people go to bed at night and hope they don't wake up in the morning. I spoke to a person like that just not that long ago. It's a real thing. But every one of those people is precious to God. And what's going to help them the most is to know, to discover, to grasp that they are precious to God. And that's the greatest thing we can do is bring to people. They're also called. Every one of those people, you've got, say it with me, I have a divine mandate on my life. Some people here just don't believe that at all. Some of you believe it a little bit. But if you could shoot up to heaven and talk to Jesus for just a moment, and I'm just doing my best today as his representative, but if you could, you would discover that he knew you before you were down here on the earth, that he planned you, that he's been with you all through the ups and downs, that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you, and that there's a magnificent purpose for your life, that there's things that you can do that nobody else that's ever lived before can do. And if you don't hit the target, he will still love you and he'll still wrap his arms around you, but life will be better if you hit the target. That's how God feels about people. And listen to this last verse. So be completely humble and gentle. Oh, that's great, isn't it? Just be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's the effort you're to make. In a lot of our world, and sadly a lot of our church world, we seem to make every effort to get my point of view across. Every effort that you understand what I think about this, and I frankly don't agree. Our emphasis a lot is on our right to say what we want to say. And you have a right to your opinion. And you don't have to agree with everybody. But the unity of the Spirit is a powerful and precious thing. Learning, even if you don't agree, to not be disagreeable. Powerful. And then we get to this one, and this is where we want to go today, letting it go. I've just got a couple of verses for you. Because this is a life-changing moment and a life-changing truth. Jesus is talking to, I've contracted this because it's the main verse is 25 for us today, but over the last, I don't know, several weeks now, we've talked about in these e-thoughts, faith, the steps of faith. Faith is the thing that shifts God and brings God onto the scene. If you need healing, if you need a change, if you need an answer, if you need financial breakthrough, if you want something to shift, if you're Joshua and it feels like I can't take this city, marching around the city seven times on the seventh day, whatever it was, that really wasn't what brought the walls down. Hebrews 11 tells you it was faith. Faith is believing. Faith is being convinced. Faith is awesome. Faith will cause God to move past 1,000 people and descend on you. God just likes faith. He likes you to believe in him. He likes you to trust him. It just turns him on when stuff comes against you, like it does against me, like it does against everybody. This isn't going to work out. That isn't going to work out. Now look what you've done. How do you ever think you are going to pay those? You are never going to get out of this. You are never going to be able. You can't, with that illness, that's going to kill you. Your mother had it, your mother's mother, and endless streams of thoughts that Satan will fire at you. They're called arrows, darts, and the Bible says it's the shield of faith that quenches them. They just stop. What's faith? Faith is, I'm trusting what God said in spite of what it looks like. Doesn't look good. I'm at university, you know, and there's no jobs for these people. There's jobs. Everyone say, there's jobs. Say, there's money. There's healing. There's health. There's God. There just is. All the difference in the world on how you orient your thinking, the direction of your heart. So he's talking about this, and he's teaching them, and he says, look, you guys, this is how faith works. You say to a mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. Everyone say in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. Then what? Then you will have whatever you say. The doubting or not doubting is the big issue. Then he says, Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever, whatever. We've got a mug at home that says whatever. I need to write Mark 11:24 under it. Whatever. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it. That's the faith thing, believe, and it'll be yours. Not maybe, not if you're lucky, not if you pray enough, not if you behave well enough. You know, I'm a big advocate. I think living right, living pleasing to God is enormously important. But actually, that doesn't receive much from God. There are some very upright, well-behaved. They never swore. They never, you know, they never said a rude word. They never criticized anybody. They're all good things. But doesn't mean you'll receive anything from God, because that's not the thing. Faith is the thing. Are you with me? Am I helping you now? Okay, so now watch this. So believe in your heart that will be yours. And there's only one condition to this. Pretty open slather. It's a promise from God. Say it with me. Whatever I ask for in prayer, I believe that I've received it, and it will be mine. Powerful. One condition. Verse 25. Here it is. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anybody, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you the wrong things that you have done. That's a better term than sin. Sins is a very traditional word, a bit meaningless for most people. May forgive you the wrong things that you have done. Not accidents. You know, you made a mistake, you did something wrong. That's not sin. Sin is an attitude of heart. Sin is I know I shouldn't do it, and damn it, I'm going to do it anyway. You've never felt like that, I'm sure. I know I should do it, and I'm just not going to. And God forgives those things. So, but listen to this, see? It's because faith is a heart thing. So this is very powerful. We're talking about relationships, really. But your relationship with God is predicated on your ability. It's contingent upon your ability to let things go, to forgive. If I were to guess, I'm not an expert, but I've observed life for a while. If I were to try and guess what things have damaged human people, certainly in the Western world that I'm more familiar with, in more than anything else, it would be fear and unforgiveness. That'd be my guess. People are worried, anxious. Faith is the antidote for that. Belief, hope. And people, many people, are holding grudges against somebody. If there's anybody here, when you sit and think, and you think, well, maybe God loves them, but I sure don't. I just don't want to see him. I don't. There's something in your heart that needs healing. Do you understand? Oh, I understand. I probably had to forgive people maybe more than most. And because God let me go through some things that were just about as painful as it gets. I remember when I was a young person and I discovered, I met Jesus, and then I kind of a year later, I went to a youth camp thing, and they made me like a little cabin leader. I was 17 or 18, 17, I think. And I was really looking for leadership, for guidance, for father figures, whatever those kind of things, you know. Somebody that was further down the line that would help me, you know. And so I found these people, and I remember looking at them, and then I got to know them a little bit, and I just found, it was a surprise to me at the time, I found these people just don't seem to love Jesus as much as I do. And I didn't think I was better or worse or anything like that. It just surprised me. God had, you know, visited me, and that kind of pattern, you know, happened a lot in my life, to the point where, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe I was thinking, you know, because I've done this for a while and I've got friends, you know, and ex-friends, I guess, not that I've disconnected necessarily or abandoned people, but people that, you know, were my age or maybe younger and they were serving God fully, and then along the road of life, and I mean just past kind of halfway, really. I'll explain that to you one day. But on the road to life, you know, on the way through, this happened, that happened, and I thought to myself, what is there? Is there anything that could really get me to a place where I just would abandon God? Couldn't think of anything. And I tried to imagine what would be the worst thing that could happen to me, which I don't need to go into here, but I thought, you know, even if that happened, I just couldn't abandon God. I just couldn't. Where else am I going to go? I feel a bit like Peter, you know, where else? I don't like it. I don't get it entirely, but where else am I going to go? And then over the process of the following kind of 5 or 10 years, what was effectively the equivalent of the worst thing that could happen to my life happened, which I never expected in a million years. And so I've been through lots of situations, and it's not that it's not understandable. When you're hurt, when you know, humanity is frail, people are precious. And when people get hurt or angry, it's very understandable. But you've got to understand how God works. Forgiveness is something you've got to learn to do if you want to be happy. And if you want to be healthy, sometimes you'll read in the newspapers or you'll meet people and they love dogs more than they love people. There's something wrong there. It's not healthy. You can't have fellowship with a dog. They're not in the God class of being. You are made to have fellowship with people. And the devil will try and convince you that this was too painful, too unfair, too tough, took too long. That's not true. You can forgive. Holding on to unforgiveness, not letting it go. It was someone else. I think it was T.D. Jakes that said this the first time I heard it. It was probably someone else. But listen to this. This is helpful. Holding on to unforgiveness, I won't let it go, is like drinking poison and wishing the other person would die. That's what it's like. It doesn't work. It just kills you. You say, how come those people don't see what they've done wrong? Well, people are people. They just don't. And if you're going to walk through life waiting for everybody else to see things your way, you aren't going to get anywhere. It's not about right and wrong. It's about wholeness of your heart. So let me help you a little bit. Here's another great verse that'll help. And this might be just about the last one here on the verse. I want to talk for 5 minutes about how to do this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Notice now, Paul's writing to the church here. It's God writing to us. And he says, you get rid of it. God will help you. But you've still got to get rid of it. There's a choice you make. There's a decision. There's a lot of power you have in this deal. Some of us want God to forgive them for us. I don't really want to, but God, if you'll help me, what does that mean? Well, that means you make me not feel the pain anymore. That ain't going to happen. All pain is not destructive. In fact, pain has a lot of benefits, but when it's excessive and unending, then it'll cause you problems. Jim Rohn, who's a very well-respected kind of motivational speaker, Christian guy, he said a good thing, I really like it. He said, don't ask for an easy path. Ask for a path where you grow. It's very ignorant, really, to go through life wishing for an easy path. Most people do it. They want to win the lotto. They want to marry Mr. Perfect. They don't want 4 weeks of holidays. They want 5 or 6 or 7 if we can get it. They want more public holidays, not less. They want expensive gifts for Christmas. One. My name's Jimmy. I'm out to see what you'll give me. Some people are just like, but that actually doesn't make you into very much at all. The first point in getting over forgiveness is realizing that the process of letting something go, of experiencing that pain will build something greater in you. Doing exercises like that. You know, Jordan, myself, a couple of the others here that, you know, we cover ourselves up, but it's undeniable. There's a tremendous physical shape under there somewhere. People who do that, it's intrinsic. It's pain. It's got to be pain. If it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it properly. Am I right? It's got to hurt to some degree. It tears muscles, you rebuild, da-da-da-da-da. Well, it's the same in every area of life. You just got to choose wisely where you're going to allow it to hurt. And I'm not talking about hurt's going to hurt so-and-so did this to me. I'm talking about it's going to hurt, I'm going to let it go. Everybody. Let's have a look at the example. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. Be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive one another. Just as in Christ God forgave you. God forgave you. Now, when we get clear on that, Lucille just did a great job this morning, kind of tied in so nicely. If we get clear on how forgiven we are, it'll help us let go of other things. The Bible says, and talks about it in the book of Hebrews. Let me show you this last verse. We'll chat a little bit and we're done. We helping you though? Hebrews 10:2 and Hebrews 10:17, the references at the bottom, they're really good. It's Hebrews 10:17 that says, God will remember your sins no more. Everyone say, remember no more. Remember no more. You might sit here and say, oh, I did this wrong, I've got this wrong attitude. Yeah, okay. Admit it, that's a good start. But in God's forgiveness, in Jesus, he doesn't even remember it. You keep reminding yourself, probably, then you think it's God reminding you. Then Satan comes along and he says, yeah, that is God reminding you. When actually God's getting up there saying, will you just straighten your thinking out and realize you're precious to me and it's all gone. I hold nothing against you. Listen to this most amazing verse. Some of you, most of you will never have seen this before. Isaiah 43:25. God speaking, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. How awesome is that? The verse before says, I'm tired of you coming to me with all your complaints and your problems and your... God is not really interested in you. Oh, well, I did this. Oh, well, I did that. Oh, well, and some churches, some religious lifestyles are based on that. And that's not it. Back in the Old Testament, God said, no, I'm not remembering them anymore for my own sake. I don't want to hear it. Do you want kids like that? Your kids come in every morning, you know, they're 7 and 9 and 12, and in they come and, oh, Dad, I did this wrong. Oh, Dad, could I please have cereal? Oh, I'm so sorry, my heart attitude was wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, and is it possible to give me a lift? Oh, I'm sorry, I scratched, you know, the record player, and I said a rude word to my, oh, God, oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Oh, and they all cheer all the time. Oh, we're so sorry. And it's like, oh, give me a break. If you're a good parent, it's forgiven. Correction is necessary, but it comes in to help those people be better people. And God's like that. I blotted it out, and I don't remember it anymore for my own sake. And that other verse, Hebrews 10:2, it tells you that we're supposed to be not sin conscious, but righteous conscious. You should not be conscious of your sins. That's what it's saying. Walking around thinking I'm a sinner, that's exactly what Hebrews tells you not to do. Walking around thinking, my default thinking is I'm just as righteous as God is. I am right with God. That sounds very confident. I am. And because it's not because of me, it's because of what Jesus did. But I know it. I know it. I walk into this room, I'm right with God. And that feels good. That's transformation that comes from changing your thinking. And when you get that, and then you realize everything I've ever done wrong, every intent of my heart, it's completely wiped away. Who am I now to hang on to? Rationally, who am I to, how can I, when the Almighty God has forgiven me everything, how can I justify hanging on to other people who have done something wrong to me? So rationally it works, but emotionally that's a different process, isn't it? Let me give you, as we close, 5 quick steps, and they will be quick, that you process through to do this. Remember this in relationships. We're talking about forgiveness, but remember this in relationships. In relationships, saying sorry or apologizing, that's the precursor to forgiveness. What you want to fight for in relationships is unity, agreement. So if there's a, my wife and I, we never have an argument, never. But there are moments where we have very intense fellowship. And what can easily happen to people, because they feel offended and they feel hurt, is that we start to come from the angle of, no, you were wrong about that and I was right. It's never helpful. Because when you insist that you're right, by default, you're insisting someone else is wrong. And that's very unlikely to resolve well. Even if you are right and they are wrong, even if that's the case, insisting that, making somebody agree with you that you are wrong here is never going to work. And what you'll end up either crushing the other person because you're forceful and you'll chase them away, or you're dealing with a stronger person and they will rear up and talk back to you the way you talk to them. And then you'll say something like, well, yeah, not a wonder I say what I say when you talk to me like this. And away we go. What you're looking for is keep agreement. Keep agreement. Keep this unity of the Spirit. It's not always necessary to make your point. It's important that the other person hears you. That's important. But apologizing, even if, and in most cases, there's a little bit of apology that could be done on both sides. But the smartest thing to do, if you want to set up a healthy relationship, is to be able to say, I'm sorry. Just everyone practice, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And when you say it, say it again, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm feeling, one more time.
I'm sorry.
I feel so healed now, I tell you. Thank you. Thank you. Saying sorry, say it from your heart. Don't say it with a snicker. Yeah, I'm sorry. The kids do, you know. Tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. Don't do it like it's being squeezed out of you. I'm sorry. It's got to come from your heart. Practice. How you do that? You practice. You process it in your mind. You say, this isn't, we haven't spoken for 3 months. This isn't good. This is not healthy.
That's the first thing. And then you've got to, on the other side, is you've got to learn to let it go from your heart. What does that mean? That means the sting leaves, but doesn't leave immediately. It means that your emotions don't all darken over. So I've got any number of people in my life, because you can't have a relationship with somebody else if they don't want to have it with you. So I've got a number of people in my life, and if you serve God, you're going to find you get them too, who don't particularly like me, or they've got issues and problems with me, or they blame me for certain things. And whilst I haven't lived perfectly, because neither have you, I've done a pretty good job most of the time. And my heart is right before God and for people. But you can't make anyone else forgive you. And when you have that situation, you've got to not allow your emotions to get all darkened. Now that's a skill. That's really important. One of the most powerful verses I've ever read in the Bible is in Proverbs 16, verse 12. It's one of Daniel's favorites too. It says, "The man who controls his spirit or rules his passion is greater than him who takes a city. A man who is slow to anger is greater than the mighty." You can be a mighty man or you can be just slow to get angry. And there's something you learn in that. And so you've got to, remember this. This is kind of how it works. When you make a decision to forgive somebody, and you say, "I'm actually going to let it go," and there'll be some of us here that need to do that, and some of you will be sitting here thinking, "Yeah, well, that's a good idea, but," and really, you just want to flick the switch and be done with it because it's not worth blocking God out of your life, which you are doing, and then hoping you'll end up making decisions that aren't the best. You've got to let it go, and it feels so much better. But when you do, come to that place of letting things go, you've got to remember that it's a little bit like if you eat a fish bone. You ever done that? Caroline cooked this lovely, lovely mackerel yesterday on the coals. Oh, that's the way to do it. Oh, goodness, that was nice. I eat her food, I say to her, I say this all the time. I say, "I could have this every night of my life." It's just a man. This is the same over and over, you know. But sometimes if you get a bone or you get something stuck in your throat or you swallow a fly and you get that feeling in there, you know, that bad feeling. And then and then you kind of swallow. You swallow and you think it's gone, but it feels like it's still there because it's left an imprint in your finger. And then, but you know it's probably gone, but it still feels exactly like it. But after a while, maybe 10 minutes, you don't even think about it anymore, and then you realize that's gone. It's a bit like that. Your emotions are like that. You let it go, you make a decision, "I'm letting it go." Well, it doesn't feel like I've let it go. No, because the imprint's still there. But if you will keep with your decision, and you know, if you keep believing it's still there, you're going to keep going, and drinking or whatever, for hours. Because it still feels like it's there. But you've got to make the decision. So here we go. Remember these things. The things that hurt you the most are the things that make you the most exceptional. Remember that. Don't take pain as something that's going to destroy you. Somebody smarter than me, well, I think they were, you'll know this phrase. They said, "It's not what happens to you in life that determines where you finish. It's how you respond. How are you going to respond?" There are people, one of the greatest stories, if you have trouble with forgiveness, go and get a book by a Dutch Christian lady called Corrie ten Boom. There's a couple of books she's written, Corrie ten Boom, like that. Famous, I don't know if she's even still alive, Dutch lady, who lost her parents in the Second World War, gassed by the Nazis, And then the person who was responsible for their gassing became a Christian. And she had to meet them. And I only know that, that's as much as I know about the story. But if you want help, that'll help you. Number two, your right response is not about being perfect. It's about getting your heart free. Number three, I've already mentioned. You get hurt, you get angry, you withdraw. It's a matter of growing. It's a matter of maturing. You mature in relationships, you mature in life. But a lot of the things that are thrown at us in this world, be careful what you watch. You know, I don't tend to watch TV soaps, I'm reasonably careful, but there's so much of that stuff. And I see sometimes parents, they leave their kids, you know, in front of the TV or in front of a screen. Most of the soaps that I've seen are just an endless display of how not to behave and how to have bad attitudes and how to get revenge. And it's just, it's shocking for you. If you program yourself that way, then you're going to feel bitter at the ex, bitter at the boss, bitter at not fair. It's just endless. It's a magnificent demonic portrayal of how to ruin your own life. Hold these attitudes. And the people in those soaps don't care. They're just actors. Somebody wrote it. Let some of you guys write some stuff that just displays really good attitudes. How about that? Hello?
Yeah.
So watch what you watch. Go through it in your heart and your mind. This is the best thing to do. When you've got to forgive somebody, so you think of them, and you look them in the eye, and you say, I'm going to forgive you. And you choose. You say, I forgive you. I would close my eyes. I'm forgiving you. And you remember, like everything, decision is the most powerful thing. You're not going to feel like it, probably. It would be a bit unusual if you did. I'm forgiving you. It's a choice. I'm letting it go. And you start by making a choice. Now, it will feel like that bone's still stuck there. But you keep making that choice. For some of you, you may need to do that 3 times a day, 5 times a day, every day, for months. It's worth it. You're worth it. It's not worth it. Stop drinking that poison. It's not going to hurt them. It's only hurting you. And then the final thing I want to say, and that is important, is ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's a wonderful friend. He knows you. And if you will make the decision, stick with the decision. I'm going to keep doing this. It's decision that opens the door to everything. I'm going to serve God with all my life. That's a decision. Either side of that decision, your life, where your life will end up, will be dramatically different. So I'm so thrilled about where Lucille's at, because that's the decision she's made. And so things like, you know, retiring when she did, doing whatever she does financially, she's making certain decisions with that, going to the Seychelles with this. You know, we all cheer and we all say happy. It's because years ago, in her heart, she said, I'm going to serve God with all my life. And the decision's made. For me, the decision's made. I'm going to forgive people. And usually when you make a decision like that, the tests will come. But God is with you and you can do it. Let's close our eyes. Father, help every one of us. Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Come here today. Come close to us and touch every hurting heart that's here. I want to thank you for what will probably be relatively few people that really have no issues like this in their heart at all. I'm so thankful for them. But my prayer is for all the rest of us that from various times in life where things really have stung, maybe something a teacher said, maybe something a parent said or didn't say or didn't do or did do. Today, help us so we make a decision to forgive. We let it go. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to do that now. And maybe we could just have a little bit of quiet music as we close here today. And for you here, I want you to process that. I want you to walk through that. I want you to decide in your heart, I'm letting it go and I'm letting it go now. Healing will only come, your wholeness, your destiny, your wonderful life that God has will only come when after you make that decision. You stop it from happening. It's got nothing to do with whether it was fair or not fair. Got nothing to do with why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? It's got nothing to do with that. These things will make you exceptional. And God is with you. And He is here to help you. And nothing happens really until you make the decision. And you say, yep, I'm doing it now. So in your hearts, I want to hear yep all over the room. Yep. Letting, yep. Yep, 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 yep. You don't have to put up your hands. We will give you an opportunity to be ministered to, for someone to pray for you. That's important. But the first step is, yep, I let it go. Yep, I believe I can. Yep, still feels like that bone's there, but yep, God's with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. Bless these beautiful people. Bless their lives. Strengthen their lives. Strengthen their hearts. Give them God encounters. Let this be an incredibly special week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, yep. Yep. Awesome. Some of you will probably need to sit where you are still, just for a minute or two in God's presence. Some of you, if you want, Carrie and I will be here. We'll minister to people. Just lay hands on people. For those that feel like you'd like someone to stand with you in that process, that's important. It's important. Don't miss out. It's very easy to get prayed for. And then we're also going to have beautiful coffee, beautiful tea, beautiful fellowship. Lucille will be heading off very soon. So bless you. Give her a hug. And bless her. She's a good sister. Thank you very much for being here. Next week, I want to talk about what's going on spiritually in Staines, the changes that are happening, and what the Holy Spirit has in store. We're going to have some prophetic time. We're going to lay hands on people. You don't want to miss it. I want you to grab all your friends, bring them all here, at least five. Amen? Good idea? God bless you. Have a great day.